And they're not hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. Here's what they'll say. They'll say that it's wrong to be married, wrong to eat certain foods, but God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. You might replace the part, and I'm not saying replace the word, but eating certain foods, you know, some people don't eat certain foods. Think of it this way. Maybe a more modern might say that they may be deceived in the fact of him, her, he, she, it, right? I heard something the other day where they were arguing that not just women can have babies. And what? Like, huh? But it's saying here, so back then they were going back and forth about hoofed animals or not hoofed animals. Well, today we face something bizarre, right? So it says that people are going to be deceived in the last days, the teachings, the thinkings, and they'll say that it's wrong to be married or to eat certain foods to be eaten with, but everything's to be eaten with thanksgiving by faithful people. So this is probably why we all pray before we eat, right? Like we give thanks for our food before we eat, right? Don't you? Yeah. Even in restaurants, out in public, yeehaw, pray a little louder out there so other people hear you. You do that, right? Yeah. Anyhow, but God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people. We are hopefully faithful people who know the truth. Knowing the truth. Since everything that God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. Thankful hearts. Why? Because we know it is made acceptable. How? By the word of God and prayer. Remember I said, I think it was last week, like I can't really separate prayer and Bible reading. It's all communicating with God. It's all good. We as Christians constantly need to be praying and reading the Bible. We say, Father, revival, 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 but Lord, I'm so busy being successful, 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 I don't have time to pray and read my Bible, but revival, revival, revival. Santa Claus, send it down, Santa Claus, send it down. Just give it, gimme, gimme, gimme. But I don't have time to stop, pray, and read because I'm too busy being successful. I'm too occupied by deciding if it's he, she, who can have kids. Whatever, right? All the deceptions of the world of the last days. Now, if you explain verse 6, these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you're going to be a worthy servant of Jesus Christ, one who is nourished by the message of faith. How can I be a nourished, well-fed Christian? Nourished by the message, the truth of the gospel of faith and the good teaching that you have followed. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wise tales. You might today replace old wise tales with conspiracy theories. Yeah. Don't waste time arguing over all these crazy ideas, all the conspiracy theories, the old wise tales. Instead, here's what I want you to do, Paul says. Instead, here's what you need to do. Train yourself to be godly. Physical training is great. Sorry, physical training is good. Physical training is good. Exercise, bike, hike, walk, physical training. It's good for you. But hold on a second. Training for godliness is much better. So we can say that physical training is good, but training for godliness is great. My spiritual well-being, that's great for you to do. Promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. My physical training only helps me in this life. My spiritual training helps me in this life and also the life to come, the life from above. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, or we go through sufferings, because our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior, Deliverer, Provider, Protector of all people, and particularly of all believers. I thought that was really good. That's praying at home. That's fantastic stuff right there. Does anybody feel just a little bit better? We spent probably 90 seconds right there just reading the Word. Do you feel nourished? Yeah. Doesn't that feel good? I just did some spiritual exercise. Now, what if I meditate more and pray and tell God, you know, there's everything I'm thinking and going through and all that stuff, and well, I'll go back and rewrite it again and write it down and put it on my phone and put a marker and highlight and circle and go back again and get more nourishment. He's saying physical training is great, guys, but all the more spiritual training, especially in the latter days when a whole bunch of Confucian. This is just a joking word in our house. Instead of saying confused, where'd that come from? Confucian. I forget. You get very confused. It's very back and forth, very wayward. So John tells us the same thing. In 3 John, verse 1, there are no chapters in 3 John. It's just one letter that John is writing. It says, from the elder to my dearly loved brother Gaius, whom I truly love, beloved friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way. Gaius says, I pray that you're prospering in every way and that you continually enjoy good health just as your soul is prospering. Just as your soul is prospering. Do you remember when we said that we are a three-part being, body, soul, spirit? Let's remind ourselves, what is the soul thing, right? The soul is the seat of our mind, will, and emotions. The soul, it's, a lot of times we'll say the word heart, my heart. It's the seat of your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's the part where we think through. It's the part where I have feelings. It's where I make plans. It's where I organize. It's the part inside of me that either stays focused or gets distracted. It's our soul that either feels pressure and perceives hurts from others, right? Or it's my soul that's energized, or it can be discouraged. It's where all the words that I speak come out. All form in my mind, will, and my emotions, and then I spew out of my mouth what's in here. You ever get in a heated discussion with somebody? Yeah, what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. Right, right? And all filters are gone when you get the temperature up, baby. All plugs let loose. Our soul can be energized, our soul can be discouraged. It's where we form our words to communicate with others. It's where our personality literally comes from. Their character. It's in our soul that we either become anxious or we can rest peacefully. It's where we worry about bad things or where we meditate on good things. It's our mindset in our soul that begins in our mind, will, and emotions, our soul. John's saying to Gaius here that you continually enjoy good health just as your soul is prospering. Those words there mean to continually prosper. It's an over and over again. It's a much as succeeds you. It's a rolling over and over and over and over. Verse 3 says, I was filled with joy and delight. John says to Gaius, I was filled with joy and delight when the brothers arrived here, back here, and told me of your faithfulness in the truth. How is he of good health and his soul is prospering? Because he is faithful to the truth. It is the greatest joy of my life to hear, John says to Gaius, that my children are consistently living their lives in the ways of truth. Who's responsible for Adam living his life consistently? Me, Adam. Only one person can do it for me. Daily exercise, physically, daily exercise, spiritually. Continually, consistently live their lives in the ways of truth over and over again. Faithfulness to the truth. As you read in John 17:17 says, as Jesus is praying, Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. Father, sanctify them. Set what sanctify mean? Set apart for a specific purpose. Sanctify. Father, sanctify all believers. Sanctify. Set them apart for a specific purpose. How? How can they be set apart for a specific purpose? By truth. What is truth? By your word. Father, your word is truth. John 8 says, you are truly a disciple when you are a learner of mine. Now, in John 8, Jesus isn't talking to the disciples. He's talking to others. He says, hey, y'all are a disciple. Disciple means a learner. Y'all are a learner of mine. How do I know if I'm a learner of Jesus? Well, you remain faithful. You remain consistent to my teachings. Well, that's nice to know. I'm a disciple. I'm a learner of Jesus because I remain faithful and consistent to what? His teachings. Where do I find his teachings? In word and in prayer. Because of you being a learner of Christ, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, make you free, keep you free from bondage. Oh, is that where that scripture is applicable? The truth will set you free. The truth will make you free. How does the truth make me free, set me free, keep me free? Because I'm a learner of the truth. I'm a disciple of the truth of the good news of his teachings. Thank you. Just kidding. In John 11, we saw that they start thinking about pre-deciding. Let's start thinking about our mindsets, right? Mind, will, and emotion, all my thoughts, all this stuff comes from, okay? We read, and a lot of this is review. Y'all should be very familiar with all this. We read in John 11 when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Remember, he stopped, he paused, he looked up towards heaven. It was his posture of prayer, looking up and saying, Father, what did he say next? Anybody remember? Father, thank you for always hearing my prayers, for always hearing me. Posture, Father, Heavenly Father, pray to your Heavenly Father, thanking you in advance. That's my pre-decided mindset. My pre-decided mindsets. Father, thank you. Thank you in advance. You always hear me. Oh, that's a good mindset to have. Father, you always hear me. Thank you. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. Da, da, da. Unwrap him. He's alive. Oh, my goodness. How cool is that? It's a pre-decided thoughts before I pray. Before I even begin to pray, my mindset, my preconceived thoughts, my inner being, my heart is thanks. Thanks in advance. Thank you in advance. You always hear my prayers. In 2 Corinthians 12, we talked about Paul saying these things. Paul said, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, Paul says, to keep me from being proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh. A messenger from Satan himself came to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Do you remember this at all? And he said that he prayed three different times. Actually, he didn't pray. It says begged. He was praying and praying and praying, begging, fasting on his knees. Take it away. Take away this thorn in my flesh. You all have had a thorn, right? Little tiny, tiny, tiny thorn is just a thorn in the flesh. Get this thing out of here. It festers. It's like, oh my goodness, it's so tiny I can't even see it. A thorn in my flesh. And he begged, Lord, take it away, take it away, take it away. It says three times, take it away. What was God's response? Jesus said, red letters in your Bible, my grace is sufficient for you. My favor upon you is enough because my strength, the power inside of you from me is made perfect in your weakness. And I love this. Paul's predecided mindset was, I got it. I got it. The next three sentences, he responds exactly as Jesus said. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul, I'm enough for you. I can fill you to overflowing, Paul. I keep this little thorn in your flesh to keep you at the cross, to keep you coming back to me. Prayer, Bible reading. There's this little thorn in your flesh. You ever deal with anything constantly? You got a thorn in your flesh? You feel like Satan sent a messenger directly to you every single day when you wake up? You're like, boom, oh, life. Oh, thorn in my flesh. You turn around. You roll over. You wake up in the middle of the night. Oh, there it is again. Oh, you got a thorn in your flesh. For him, it was to keep him humble. I believe we have thorns in our flesh to keep us in need of Christ, to keep us back to the cross, because he keeps reviving us. He keeps filling us when we are in that preconceived mindset. He says, the next three sentences, he repeats back, and he's telling this. God said he was enough for me. Paul says, okay, fine then. Therefore, most gladly, fine. I am so glad that I'm just going to boast in all my weaknesses. Fine. I'm a weakling. I'm a weakling. I'm not proud. I can't be proud because I'm a weakling. Same thing Jesus just said. Why? So that the power of Christ can rest in me. Oh, just like Jesus said, my strength is made perfect in weakness, so the power of Christ can rest upon me. Yeah, he's got it. Paul got it. He grabbed hold of it. This is my pre-decided mindset is Jesus fills me over and over. I'm a human. I leak. You remember the vessel last week? The little clear container I put all the holes in? You just keep pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. And it just keeps emptying, 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 emptying. But when I put it inside of another vessel, what eventually happened? I still leaked, but eventually I started to overflow. That other circumference around me is me constantly being at the cross, me constantly praying, me constantly reading, fasting, me constantly aligning my soul, my mind, my will, emotions, my communication, my thoughts, my characters with the cross, with the Bible, with the truth. As I continually do that, I have a circumference around me. I'm leaking, I'm leaking, I'm leaking, but also I'm filling, I'm filling, I'm filling because I'm wrapping, I'm wrapping, I'm wrapping. My mind, my preconceived ideas are being lined up with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ through constantly the Bible and prayer. And all of a sudden, I do begin to overflow. I'm overflowing, I am revived, overflowing in revival in my own life. It breaks my heart. I'm looking at myself. You know, when I'm up here preaching, you all know I'm preaching to myself. I'm just sharing it with you. So don't ever take it personal. But if the shoe fits, wear it. That's what I always say. And I think it fits, okay? Just love you all. But that's where I'm at in my life. I'm like, okay, I'm leaking, I'm leaking. I'm a mess, I'm a mess, I'm a mess. What makes me overflow? Me constantly aligning myself with the truth. Your word is truth. My relationship with him is truth. And then I begin to overflow, and I got a little revival happening in my life. A little glory overshining in me. And people say, what's wrong with you? You're always full of energy. What's wrong with you? You're always so happy. Well, I got Jesus. You want some? It's not that hard to be a light in today's world. I don't look at the world as a wreck. I look at the world as a harvest field for you and your light to shine. Yes, people, the world's a wreck. Yeah, it's always been a wreck. It's always been being destroyed. But you're the light. You're it. It's a wonderful place to live. It's a harvest field that is ripe, I'll guarantee you, every single day. Every single day, every one of us come across someone. Someone that needs your overflowing in them. Does it have to be super weird spiritual sideways? No. Please be a normal Christian. Just be normal. Don't be a weirdo. Right? Like, just be a normal Christian. A smile. How are you today? I'm doing fantastic. Normal. Hey. You start talking to them, and all of a sudden your head becomes a garbage can with a hairy lid because all they want to do is tell you trash and you want to turn it off. You know how to turn it off. May I quickly and quietly pray for you? It stops immediately and then pray for them. May I quickly and quietly pray for you? In my mind, you're in despair and you're a wreck and I need to pray for you, right? It turns it right off. You're no longer a garbage can. Whoa. Can I quickly and quietly pray for you? And they'll say yes or no. And if they say yes, then quickly and quietly pray for them and move on. And let God do the rest. It's not my burden. It's not my problem. It's just Him and me, and I share the goodness when I can. My responsibility is to constantly align my inner self, to be healthy, to daily exercise my health in Christ, and to keep myself aligned with the truth. He goes on to say again, the second time in verse 10, Paul says, therefore, I take pleasures. What am I taking pleasures in? What am I boasting in? All my weakness, all my messes, and infirmities, reproaches, needs, and persecutions, and distress. Yeah, that's what I've learned. That's my preconceived, my pre-decided thoughts, is I'm just going to glory in, I'm a mess. But, I know I'm a mess, but, for Christ's sake, for Christ's sake, I'm not swearing. For Christ's sake, for the glory of God, I take my stinking tail back to the cross and line it back up over and over and over and over again. Maybe it takes you more than one time a day to do that. Maybe you got to do morning, noon, and night. There are Bible apps. Anybody have YouVersion? Has anybody heard of YouVersion in this county? YouVersion. Raise your hand if you have YouVersion Bible app. It's Y-O-U. Version. Download it and let it be annoying in your life because it beeps, it ticks. Set it up to give you notifications. It's going to give you a little Bible verse. And if you weren't disciplined enough to exercise, to take yourself to the cross and physically, spiritually exercise, do your routine, it'll beep at you. I drive my wife crazy. I have 10 and 2 o'clock on my phone. Ding, ding. It's a pause thing because I run 110 miles an hour. It's a pause thing. I haven't done it for months and months and probably 6-8 months. And you're on a streak, Adam. Keep up the good work. Thanks, phone. I've been on a streak for a long time. At 10 and 2 o'clock, my phone goes off. If I can stop, you can choose 1, 3, 5, 7, 10, 15, 12 minutes, and then you just stop. Oh, my gosh, for me to stop and wait for my microwave to warm up something for 30 seconds. You know how much of a challenge that is for me? Yeah, that's a challenge for me. For me to stop at 10 and 2 o'clock and take a 1, 3, 5, 7, 10 minute pause, and it walks you through. Take a deep breath. All right. It's not weird. It's not side. Okay, Adam, take a deep breath. Shut the door. Another deep breath. Another deep breath. Now say these words. That's me dragging my sorry behind back to the cross twice a day, 10 and 2. Don't call me at 10 and 2. I'm trying to take a break. Okay? What do you need to do in your life? I'm telling you all about my life. Do something. Maybe more than once a day. Third time, Paul says it. When I am weak, I am strong. Okay. I boast of my weakness. I am take pleasures in all my infirmities, reproaches, my needs, my persecutions for the glory of God. And when I am weak, I am strong. I love that. Paul got it. He responded three times back to Jesus. What Jesus said to him, listen, my grace is sufficient for you. I have enough. My power inside of you is perfect. Brings you to a place of completeness and fullness and overflowing in your weakness. Remember, as I said, the vessel, you're putting something in every single day. What are you putting in? That's your choice. That's your call. We also said, Jeff Olson, the book, Slight Edge. It's a great book. You want to be disciplined? It gives you 7 areas of your life to get disciplined in. Boom, boom, boom. Spiritual, physically, the whole round. He gives you a little formula in there. Focused intensity over time. I'm focused. What am I focused on? The cross. Focused intensity. What am I intensely focused on? The cross. Jesus, the truth, the Bible, prayer, daily. When? Over time, always, time. Time ticks right by. Time's ticking. It's intently focused over time, multiplied by God in my life, equals great momentum, equals overflowing of your life, the power of the Spirit of God inside of you. focused intensity over time, multiplied by God, gives you momentum for your journey through earth. Gives you an overflowing of the Spirit of God in your life. We have to understand, as followers of Jesus, that the decisions we make are incredibly important. As Christians in our lives, the decisions we make are critically important. The direction of my life is determined by the quality of my decisions. The quality of the decisions I make determine the direction of my life. Every decision I make has ripple effects. Big ones, small ones, some that go on for years and years and years and never go away. The quality of decisions that I make determine the direction of my life. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. This is the answer to your question, Priscilla, from yesterday. What is the purpose of prayer? Why in the world do I even need to pray? Let's talk about it. Let's think about it. What is the purpose of prayer? It's nothing. It's no great theology. It's nothing you don't know. When I pray, I get to know God. I get to know God. I learn His characteristics through His truth, His word. In prayer, I just get to know the guy. That's His desire. He wants you to know Him. When I know Him, then I will do His will. The purpose of prayer, to get to know God. When I get to know God, I do His will. 1 John 5 says, anything you ask in accordance with my will, right? Let's look at it. 1 John 5, verse 13. John says, I've written this letter to you because you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you will be assured to know. I write this letter to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so you will be assured to know without a doubt, without a doubt, that you have eternal life. Don't let Satan steal the fact to know that you have eternal life. Assurance to know God. I think a lot of Christians don't know who they really are. They've never really been through a discipleship class. Nobody's ever helped them. Nobody's ever taught them. They've never applied themselves to learn more and to know God. Be assured that you know God without a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. Verse 14, since we have this confidence, what confidence do I have? I have confidence that I have eternal life in Christ, and I'm assured of that. Since I have this confidence, we can also have boldness. Confidence, again, same boldness before Christ. Why? Well, because if we ask anything agreeable to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us, in whatever we ask, we also know that we have obtained the request we ask of Him. Oh. Makes sense. So why should I pray? What's the purpose of prayer? Why spend so much time in prayer? James 4 tells us, you don't have because you don't ask. Oh. Never received that, never even asked Him. Remember I said about communion? A lot of times in communion, people don't actually stop, pause, and say, hey, communion is a time where there's a special healing that can take place during communion. Most people don't even ask for a healing during communion. They just don't even ask. Why don't they receive? Why are some sick and dying? You never asked. Is it that simple? Yes. Yes. It's that simple. He loves you. You are His own. Why do we pray? Well, because you need to ask Him. Why do you pray? What's the purpose? Why so much time? Because we need to depend on Him. God wants us. God wants us to depend on Him. God wants us to ask Him. God wants to be glorified. That's why we pray. So let's ask ourselves the question, does He give us what we ask? Or does He give us what's according to His will? Not a trick question. Does God give us what we ask for? Or does He give us according to His will? The answer is C, all the above, both. What does God give us? He gives us what we ask for, and he gives us what is according to his will. He loves us so much that he's not going to give us anything outside of his will, anything outside of his plan of salvation for you. Thank you. Thank you, God. I've asked you for some pretty bizarre things. For me to think of it as an example, if you have an 8-year-old son, and he just super, super wants a motorcycle, but he wants a CR125, a really jacked up 2-stroke power band motorcycle at 8 years old. Well, as a father, that's not according to my will, because that bad boy's going to just crush you. How about we start out on a little 85 or a 100 Enduro? Right? That's a father, a child praying, his father, I want a motorcycle, I want a motorcycle. This is the one, this is the one, this is the one, and this is the one. I want it, I want it, I want it. But the father says, okay, I got something for you. I got something for you, bro. But it's right here. This is the best fit for you at this time. Let me tell you, champion. Let me tell you, champ. You get out and rip that thing. You get out and you ride it. That's right. You get out and you ride that thing because this one's right here waiting for you. This one's right here ready for you. You go get them. You go get them, Captain. This one's here ready for you. Can you correlate that with your spiritual life? You asking, you asking, you asking. Give me, I want this, I want this, I want this. I got this for you right here. This is where you are, my child. This is where you are. Take this. There's more to come. I'm endlessless. My love, my grace is sufficient. I'm endlessless. This is what I have for you for now because this is my will. It's not just to get what I want. It's not to get God to do my will. That's not why I pray. I pray to know God and follow his will. What does prayer do? Jesus wants his people to ask. He wants them in relationship with him. He wants you in relationship with him. We need God. We need to ask God. We pray. Prayer reminds us that we're not in control. Oh, is that one reason I pray? That's good. That's healthy for me. That's some spiritual exercise. Thanks for the reminder. I'm not in control. Yeah, that's what happens when I pray. You remind me that I'm not in control. But it keeps me close to the one who is in control. I like your formula, Lord. That's a good one. How do I apply it? I pray. I stop. I pause. Bible, prayer, communication. Know him. Know him. God's word never returns void to you. Never. Never changes. Thank God his word never changes. God's word never changes. God's word is the source of truth. I am God and I change not. Isaiah 40 says the grass withers, the flowers fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Isaiah 40, the grass withers, the flowers fade, the word of God stands forever. Matthew 24 says heaven and earth. Heaven and earth, folks, are going to pass away. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my words never, never disappear. Wow. That's the God I serve. You can also say this, the earth and the sky is going to wear out and fade away before one word, before one little word that I speak, Jesus says, will lose its power or even fail to accomplish its purpose. That was good. The earth and the sky, Jesus said, red letters, the earth and the sky, you can read this, change this verse the same way. Heaven and earth will pass away, my words will never disappear. Or the earth and the sky is going to wear out and it's going to fade away. But Jesus says, before one word I speak loses its power or fails to accomplish its purpose, the whole earth will fade away in the sky. The word of God is fixed. It's irrevocable. It's enduring. It's lasting, everlasting. It's indestructible. Indestructible. Predecide. Predecide in your minds, your soul, your inner person. Decisions, thought patterns. With God's help, I am consistent. With God's help, I am consistent. With God's help, I will grow into a longing to be with him in prayer daily. I'm pre-deciding daily, I'm going to grow into a longing, a yearning, a desire to be with Him in prayer daily. I'm going to read His Word every day. With God's help, I'm going to read His Word every day. With God's help, I'm not going to put things on my credit card that I shouldn't. Yeah, pray those things too. With God's help. With God's help, may I honor Him each day with consistency that brings Him glory. With God's help, may I honor Him each and every day with consistency that brings Him glory for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. The Bible is the book of all ages. It's living. It's powerful. You try to read the Bible, but the Bible reads you. You read a verse today, you read the same verse tomorrow, but tomorrow brings new life. It didn't bring today. Sharper than a two-edged sword. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Nobody can separate us from the love of God. Everybody in here has probably received gift cards. Yeah? Gift cards. We've lost them. Good ones. Steakhouses. Where did that go? I don't know. It was Christmas time. We burned all of our Christmas paper in the fireplace. Must have melted it down. Where's it at? I really wanted to go to that restaurant. Do you know that it is said that there is 15.5 billion, that's a B, billion dollars on unspent gift cards? 15.5 billion with a B, like balloon. Billion dollars on gift cards unspent. How many can say right now, I got a gift card with money on it? Dollar left at AutoZone. Stays in my stinking wallet forever. Oh my gosh, just can you take it as a tip? Nope. $15.5 billion of unused what? Gifts. Gift. Think spiritual exercise with me. There's a gift waiting for you. There's a gift that was promised to you. Somebody already paid for it and gave you that card for Longhorn, for whatever your favorite restaurant is, Texas Roadhouse. It's been promised to you, and you've not yet redeemed it or used it. Go spiritual. Back to the cross, Bible. There's a gift for me. There's a gift for all of us. That makes me tear up. That's my Heavenly Father. All those gifts, all those blessings, spiritual, long, eternal blessings, and I've not applied them. I've not received it. I've not tapped into it. I've not gotten the value out of it that was already given to me, that was paid for. It's unclaimed promises from God that is waiting for you in heavenly places that He's already paid for and given you. And I, where's my focus? Where's my intent focus at in my life? And I want to go back and say, just bring a revival. Come on, God, can't you just do something big? Like, just do it. Come on, Santa Claus, send it down. I put it on my Christmas list. Just do it. And here we are. Where's my focused intensity? Is it on being successful in the things of the world, or is my exercise not physical but spiritual? And we want Him to drop it down. Where's He going to put it? Oh, that hurts as a Christian. Where's He going to put it? The one who only ever comes to gimme, 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 or I have no time for Bible prayer reading today. Come on, get her down, get her down. Gimme, 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 fill me, fill me, fill me. Does it make sense? I'm a vessel. I leak, but only I can fill my vessel. I have to do things in my own life. He's got all these. He's got $15.5 billion of gift cards ready for you under the Christmas tree. Oh, yeah, it is over here. He's got to get my tail to the cross daily, Bible and prayer reading. It's a discipline. It's a pre-decided mindset of this is my routine in life. Routine. You enter routines. You do certain things every single day. I hope you do, because it's healthy for you. Fit it in your schedule. Time will pass away. Big 5-0 is right around the corner for me. A couple years. I know you think I'm 30. Thank you. But listen, time just gone in the grave, withers away. Isn't that life? Isn't that crazy? I want to end today's service with praying for all the kids who are going back to school. Not just kids. Maybe you're a homeschool mother. Maybe you are a daycare worker. Maybe you are somehow involved in educating children. Alyssa's going to start helping us with the children here. Alyssa's going to come forward. I just told her that. Okay? Anybody who's involved with children, has kids going back to school, maybe you're just a mama and you need help getting them out the door every day or whatever it is, I want you to come forward as well. Okay? So after the kids come forward and line up over here, sorry, Xavier, you got to come, bro. I know, you're rolling your eyes at me. And then after all the kids and all the parents and everybody that comes, all right, then I want as many of you as will to please come in behind them. My goal is that every child, every person, would have a hand on their shoulder. And we're going to agree together collectively and just include God in their school year and what's to come. It's not just for kids, it's for parents as well, right? It's a challenging time. Come on, kids. Come up here. Love the noise. Bring them all. You can come with your child if you want to. If you want to come with your child because they're whatever, you come on up here too. And just line up across the front.